Some of you may remember Paul Harvey. He was a radio commentator and used to have a program bringing news. But he had another program. It was called The Rest of the Story. And it was where he would tell something and bring you to a point where all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's a reason why you told us all this information. Paul Harvey told this story that I want to share with you this morning as I attempt to bring you to the table, hopefully with fresh eyes. Welcome. So glad you're with us this morning. The living stones have assembled within these walls. The house of the Lord has opened its doors to receive our Savior and our King. And it is a great joy to be in your presence today. Welcome all of you who've come from distant places. I'm tired of hearing you say Florida is broken. Yeah, our weather is broken. It is. But I will say this, it doesn't matter how cold it is here. It is likely warmer than where you came from. So unless you came from Miami, then it might be a little better. If you were walking a certain stretch of beach off of Key Biscayne, Florida, on any Friday from the late 60s till 1973, when he died at the age of 83, you might have seen an elderly, white-haired man with a large bucket of shrimp slowly walking the beach, distributing shrimp on the sand where seagulls gathered in great numbers to feast. This was a weekly ritual. The man's name was Eddie Rickenbacker. Some of you may know that name. He was dubbed the Ace of Aces after World War I because of his great success in the dogfights over France. But in addition to what he did in World War I as an ace pilot, Eddie Rickenbacker had a number of other accomplishments, some I had not known about. He was an accomplished race car driver. And at one time, he actually owned the Indianapolis Speedway. He created the first commercial airline in the state of Florida to carry mail and passengers from Miami to Jacksonville, from the lowest part of the state to the upper regions of the state of Florida. But Florida Airways ended up closing because of two things. Number one, it closed in 1927 after the great Miami hurricane of 1926 leveled the airport where his planes were. But also, our city, Tampa, reneged on an agreement they had to provide a midway point for his airline to refuel and go on to Jacksonville. And when Tampa refused to build the airport, Florida Airways shut down, bankrupt. Rickenbacker continued to provide services as a consultant and even a test pilot for American military forces up until World War II. And in World War II, he was called back to active service. In October of 1942, he was in a B-17 Flying Fortress that veered off course and ran out of fuel over the Pacific Ocean. The military was unaware of where he was because he had been sent on a special mission to deliver a message to General MacArthur. And it was a secret message, so the mission was secret. The plane went down in the Pacific, and they inflated two life rafts, and all eight individuals climbed aboard two life rafts in the middle of an ocean that no one knew their location. Seven of the eight persons aboard that plane had been injured. The only one who was uninjured in that crash was Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. For 28 days, they drifted in two life rafts, thousands of miles aimlessly across the Pacific in scorching heat and terrific storms. Giant sharks rammed their lifeboats. The largest of those boats was 5 feet wide by 9 feet long. And the survivors said the largest sharks were 10 feet plus, making sleep at night impossible. They ran out of food on day three, and they were slowly dying by starvation. The only fresh water they could catch was that which was provided by the intermittent rains. But the rains brought storms, and the storms brought waves, and they provided their own kind of problems. On the eighth day, in the afternoon of that day, a Friday, Captain William Cherry, who was in charge of the plane that went down, read from the Bible. The men sang a hymn, and they prayed for deliverance. In his autobiography, Rickenbacker says this, I quote, "There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off." Rickenbacker continued, "Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew it, but I just knew. And everyone else knew it too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat, but without moving my head, I could see the expressions on their faces. They were staring at that gull. That gull meant food. If I could catch it." He did. By the feet. The flesh was eaten raw. The internal organs were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes were renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, had offered itself as a sacrifice. Captain Rickenbacker and all but one crew member made it home. That crew member died from drinking salt water. Eddie never forgot that event. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along Key Biscayne, you could see that old man walking, white-haired, bushy-browed, slightly bent. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed the gulls, to thank them for a debt he could not repay, to remember that one gull which on a Friday long past gave itself without a struggle. That's the rest of that story. I want you to think about Israel, God's people, in the wilderness, being provided gulls from heaven, so to speak, manna, that dropped daily in the camp so that those Israelites would have food in a place where there was no food. Provision in a place where there was nothing provided by the land. 6 days a week, food was provided. And on one day, God said, no food. You'll get a double portion on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, you're going to rest. And you're going to eat that food that was provided by me the day before. You're going to remember that. You're going to remember it every single week. You're going to remember what I gave you. That same Israel remembered how God had delivered them from Egypt. How a lamb had been slain for each family unit in Egypt. How the blood of that lamb was smeared across the lintel and the doorpost of the house. How the flesh of that lamb was eaten in haste. How the angel of death marked the houses that had been marked with blood and spared the inhabitants, the firstborn children of each of those houses. And in that case, every year, they were called to remember that event. Never forget that event. Every year, the youngest child in each family began the ritual by asking the question, Father, what does this mean? And the story was rehearsed. I think about Rickenbacker gathering up the shrimp, the ritual every week, going to the bait shop, getting the shrimp, carrying them out on that beach. And here come the seagulls, probably by now trained, marking off their calendars. It's Friday. Feeding the gulls and remembering the gull. And you and I come here today. We come here today to participate in a ritual. And I speak in the first person for every person here. I owed a debt I could not pay. And someone paid the debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And this morning, I sing a brand new song. It is new for me because my sins this week were forgiven again. And my sins this next week will be forgiven again as I repent and acknowledge them and turn from them by the same sacrifice that was offered once for all. And not just once for all here, but once for all throughout Tampa and Hillsborough County and Central Florida and the state of Florida and the South and the West and the North and the Great Northwest and the North American and the South American and the African and the Australian and the European. All the continents of the world today understand this, are casting their shrimp before God to say, thank you for what you did. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me into the company of these people who can say, as I just said, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so, like Rickenbacker, we remember weekly, not on Friday, but on Sunday, on the day the Lord was raised, on the day the Lord conquered death for me and showed me, life is yours, Ralph. Spiritual life is yours because I overcame sin and death. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to close with a reading of Revelation chapter 5, and the men will come to help you remember our salvation. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw before the throne, or between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, I saw a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came, he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever. forever. And the four living creatures, they kept saying, amen, amen, amen.